You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Isles Buzz podcast. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
And alongside Dan Petru, this is Noel Fogelman. You're listening to the Isles Buzz podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Dan, I still can't believe what went down last night. It's definitely the game of the year. Might be the best regular season game in quite some time for the Islanders.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I mean, it was one of those things where, obviously, they got off to that rough start. They're down 2-0 six minutes into the game. But then they got that goal, big goal by Barzal, who was fantastic last night.
Right.
And even though they kept falling down by two goals, like, this team's playing well. They're getting chances. And, the Jets are not good in their own end, especially without Buffalo and Morrissey. And Hellebuyck hasn't had a fantastic season yet, although he played well yesterday despite, giving up the five goals. But you, as this game kept going on, it's like, just get this thing tied. They had to get a point last night. And then, boom, last 90 seconds, two goals in 33 seconds, and it was crazy. Like, they scored that first goal, and it was so much effort to tie that up. And, they barely got in there, and I had nightmares of that puck just hanging on the line. So it's okay, they tied it. And I believe you texted me, like, okay, just get this to overtime. Let's just get this to overtime. And then next thing you know, 33 seconds later, they're up a goal.
Yeah, and I would probably say maybe the last 7 minutes of that game was probably the best they played in a month. They were relentless. They were in those two goals. You haven't seen, both from Cizikas and Eberle, goals like that in quite some time.
Right.
Traffic in front of the net. They weren't pretty. Those are typical Islander goals that you've seen for a long time now. And now I guess we can all love Jordan Eberle again because he had a fantastic game. The pass he gave to Barzal for that first goal was great. Barzal racing down the ice in the third period, to set up the fourth goal. Tremendous as well.
Well, I think, too, Noel, you notice the difference. And like I said,
north-south.
Barzal has a lot to learn. And he's going to be a fantastic player. He's an amazing talent. But look at the difference of a player from someone who keeps pulling up and going east-west and from someone who is attacking the cage. It doesn't have to be all the time, but it just has to be enough where they respect it. Because right now, everybody in the league knows you're pulling up,
right. And
then everybody's going to play for that. But he did two goals were direct responsibility, were directly a result of him attacking the cage. And he was doing it all night, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, if he keeps attacking like that, there's going to be a trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
And Pulak was great last night. He was just fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about him for years now with Bridgeport, and everyone seeing him knows how good he's going to be. I think he can be even better.
What his shot
creates when he gets it on net is going to get rebounds. And if someone's in front like they were last night, just knock home the rebounds. Just create traffic because. With that, no goalie is going to be able to glove that quickly.
All three of assists were a result of a rebound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the lead was deflected, but the other two were direct result of a rebound.
Which was great. I mean, it was great to see Lee a deflection, Barzal with his goal, the traffic in front of the net, a power play goal. I mean, 5-on-3 doesn't matter because 5-on-3s in the past were just as, negative as 5-on-4s for the Islanders, but all that stuff just made for just an unbelievable win and a fascinating stat from Eric Hornet. basically, last night was the first time in Islanders history that they trailed with 2 minutes left to play and rallied to win in regulation. So it's a fantastic stat. And now they could have an opportunity to clinch a playoff spot at home Saturday against the Sabres. They're still within reach of the Capitals for the division. Capitals play Saturday
against, Unlikely.
Capitals play Tampa. So it's on Saturday.
Tampa has nothing to play for.
Very, very true. But they kind of have to get in gear because you don't want to go into the playoffs.
Also, is the Capitals are playing fantastic hockey.
Yeah, they're rolling right now.
And you know they're going to be trying to get, especially if they get to the Islander game and Ovi still has 49, he might have 75 shot attempts in that game.
Yeah, you might have to put both Greiss and Leonard in the net at the same time.
I know.
For that. But just get to that last game with a chance to at least clinch second place. Because home ice, I know they've struggled this year at home. Just get home ice. It's so important. It's been so long. Being the playoffs, obviously, is a great accomplishment for this year. No one thought that was going to happen. But to finish third or get the first wild card, it is a little bit of a disappointment heading into the playoffs after how well they played this year.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, look at the two teams in front of them. You have for the last three Stanley Cup winners.
Of course. No, absolutely.
So I'm not going to go crazy over that.
No,
and
but
look. Do I want home ice advantage? Of course I do. But and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show when we get to our Q&A segment. But, I mean, it is what it is. Just get in. This team has shown it plays quite well on the road. I don't think it's the end-all be-all.
No, but you know what? It's more for the fans who obviously dealt with all this, BS for years now. For them to actually host a game one.
That'd be great.
Or potentially game seven. That place is going to be ridiculously loud. We all know it. They're going to start tailgating once they clinch a playoff spot for game one of the playoffs, for potentially the first round. It's something that they need. I think the fans will just the energy. The players will feed off it. Leonard feeds off the fans.
He does.
It's amazing. He's basically the crowd meter. When you hear him talk, it's really genuine.
This guy loves it here, and I hope they get him locked up and get that taken care of.
Agreed, and he was obviously nominated for the Islanders nominee for the Masterson Trophy. Every team.
I think he's going to win it, too.
Oh, I think so, too, and once they clinch a playoff spot, Barry Trotz will obviously be nominated and win the Jack Adams. But also, we got to congratulate Casey Zekas. Not only did he tie the game with that goal, it was 20th goal, and it's amazing how this guy who's been on the fourth line does not play power play time, now has 20 goals.
Right. Those are 20. Does he have any shorthanded? Does he have one or two shorthanded
this year? Yeah, I think he has at least two.
Yeah, so that's basically he had 18 in that game, even straight goals.
He had two in that game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's fantastic, and everyone, I'm happy that he got that contract. I was one of the only ones pretty much when they announced that extension who was happy for him, because I think he plays on the fourth line. He's really a third line player. And now that contract is just, a bargain for him.
And the Islanders. Oh, I don't know if it's a bargain. It's still $4 million, right?
No, it's like $3.5 million, I think.
Oh, $3.5 million is fine. Yeah. I didn't love it at the time because I just thought it was too much money. But, that's not nothing against a player. But he has raised his game so much. And you're right. It's an absolute bargain at this point.
Yeah, and then also get into some news earlier in the week. Andrew Ladd's nightmare season is over. It tore his ACL Sunday. It's a shame. You never want to see a player go down. Hopefully he'll be ready for training camp. It's like about a 4 to 5 month recovery time. It's been an utter disaster since he's been here.
Yeah, it has. And it's a player of his age, too, who was slowing down to begin with. It's a concerning injury.
Yeah, and his 15 no trade team clause kicks in, I think, following next season. So okay. I'd imagine, maybe long-term IR him, even if he's ready next year.
You can't do that, though. If he's cleared the play, you can't long-term IR a player.
Just because they say it's 4 to 5 months doesn't mean it's going to be 4 to 5 months.
I actually think 4 to 5 months is extremely optimistic. Yeah, I don't think, ACL is usually longer than
yeah.
that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd imagine he'll be spending most of the season in Bridgeport next year.
You can always bury him down there. You can always buy him out, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, buying him out, you don't really save too much money.
It's not about saving the money at this point. It's about the roster spot that's gained.
Right. So you might as well just bury him in Bridgeport then.
I guess you could. I mean, look, that's a problem for next year.
Yeah, we'll worry about that next year.
And Dal Col was very good last night.
He was, yeah. And, you know, he's been snake bitten a little bit. I think a goal is going to come. A big goal is going to come for him because he only has two goals, but both goals were game winners. He plays the game a lot differently than you expected him to, you know?
Yeah. He has a lot of skill, but he's really been a nice complementary piece to the skill players he plays with. By just trying to get open and doing all the dirty work along the boards, and he's put out a lot of strength, much better skater than he was in the last few years, and a lot stronger too. So, look, I don't know what his ceiling is, but you watch him play, and he looks like an NHL hockey player.
Right, and you know what?
Maybe he's a bottom six player. But if you look at where we thought he was last year, where I didn't even think he'd be qualified, I didn't think he was an NHL.
Right, and. The way he was playing in the AHL, he was buried on the fourth line sometimes last year. It was a nightmare. Right. He bounced back this year, AHL All-Star. And if he's a third-line winger, so be it. You need a solid top nine.
Right.
And then let's just talk a little bit. I mean, we know that Fippola is out, maybe come back first round, potentially second round of the playoffs. But just how key Tanner Fritz has been this year. I know he was hurt yesterday, didn't play. But this guy – and I don't know why fans just, like, were, like, just so – was just pretty much shitting on this guy. Some people think
the third line center is supposed to score 80 points.
Yeah, true. And our first line center hasn't yet this year.
Here's the thing. I don't want to lecture or anything like that. The problem with this team is not Tanner Fritz slotted in the 3C position. No. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem with this team is the offensive output of the top six. And this team will live and die by its top six. So if Everly's going and Barzell's going and Lee's going and Nelson's going, then there's no problems.
Right. But you know what? Tanner Fritz is not here to score. He's here to kill penalties. He's to grind. He can score. Yeah. He's done it in the AHL. He's quick. I mean, he gets a lot of opportunities.
He's a great forechecker.
He really is. And if he's your 12th, 13th forward, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, he plays hard. I had no issues with him.
Yeah.
And no issues with him.
Yeah, and Cizikas is making $3.35 million.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, so it's less than we both thought. So it's not bad at all. And I know they won, and thankfully last night. But how many times do we have to see Komarov take these stupid penalties?
That was a bad penalty. That was a bad time, bad penalty. But he's not coming out of the lineup. He's not coming out of the lineup.
I'm not calling for that, but I mean, he's a veteran.
No, I'm just saying everybody wants him out of the lineup. He's not coming out of the lineup.
You know, I mean, potentially
talk about something else.
You know, I mean, that could have been a possibility if Fippola was still here. But once you have Fippola out, there's no way Komarov's going to be out.
I just think it's like, look, the team loves him, the coaching staff loves him, the organization as a whole loves him. And is he the best player on the ice? Absolutely not. would he be playing in my lineup? Probably not. But I'm just a guy who does a podcast. I'm not a Stanley Cup winning coach. I'm not one of the greatest GMs of all time. If those guys think he should be in the lineup, he should be in the lineup. I don't necessarily love it all the time. But, he's there. It is what it is. And say what you want about those guys. Fippola, Kunackle, Komarov. This team was dead last in the PK, and now it's middle of the pack. That's a big jump in 1 year.
Yeah, it's
struggling. Goaltending helps too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. When you have Greiss rebounding the way he has, and Leonard just been unbelievable this year, it certainly helps. And for some, Winnipeg's a tough place to play, but not for the Islanders. I think they've won 9 of the last 11 games there since they've
returned. They have.
Yeah. Also, some roster signings this. Organizational signs, I should say. The latest one coming yesterday with first-round pick Oliver Wahlstrom, who had a nightmare of season in college.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
It
was bad. It was just not good.
It was bad. I mean, you said it, and in Arthur Staples' article in The Athletic said it, that a couple scouts said he was just seemed disinterested this year playing in college.
I had some people tell me he was disinterested in the World Juniors. He was disinterested in college. So that's
it's a little bit
not great.
No, it's not. A little bit concerning. Of a red flag. Yeah.
It's a red flag.
You know, and
he was better post World Junior though. He was better in the second half of the season.
Yeah, he was. I mean, but still, just I mean,
and the team was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why he wants to, you know, to leave, but
look, college isn't for everyone.
No, it's not.
You're going to Boston. That's the thing people understand. If you're going to Boston University, you're going to Boston College. They don't mess around. You got to bust your ass in the classroom too. Those are hard schools to get into.
Right, and if you were just there just to play hockey, it's, you know.
Right. Maybe he should have went. He probably should have just went to Europe.
Should have for a year. I mean, I know there was talk that he was going to go to Sweden because his father, you know, is Swedish. But now he signed. He can play immediately in the AHL because of the rule where he wasn't wasn't drafted or through the Canadian juniors, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Which, I mean, now he's going to have a little bit of a taste of, you know, the playoff race because Sound Tigers are going to be making the playoffs this year. And they have a veteran-laden team, which certainly can help him, you know, just show him how to be professional, you know, and this and that. And Kiefer Bellows is there, who also has had a disaster second half of this year. I don't think he scored a goal since
January. The biggest problem January. Is Kiefer Bellows looks like he's skating in, with cement blocks on his feet.
Yeah, well, the problem with him, it's like a little bit with Brock Nelson in the past. If Brock Nelson wasn't scoring – you weren't seeing Brock Nelson anywhere.
No, Brock Nelson was good in the AHL, dude.
No, I'm not comparing him to the AHL. I'm talking about with the Islanders. When Brock Nelson wasn't scoring, he wasn't doing anything else. This year...
Maybe you could compare him a little more with Del Cole.
Possibly. Okay. I mean, if you want to do that, sure. But with Del Cole, clearly he was scoring this year. And he was doing better. I was just comparing the player because you see how Brock Nelson was invisible in the past when he wasn't scoring.
Sure. I'm not ready to give up on Bellows yet.
Of course not. I'm not
same thing with Wallstrom. Like, look, there's red flags there, but his shot isn't the red flag.
No, I mean, you don't give up on a player who is still, 20, 21 years old. Look at Del Cole. Everyone was ready to label him a bust. You were, I were.
Right. And the encouraging thing, too, is Dobson, Wild, and Ishikawa. The other three picks, so there are two other four picks in the first two rounds, having outstanding seasons.
Yeah, I tweeted last week. I think it was I forgot which player. I think the Bodie Wild had a great highlight play, and I'm just like, yay prospects. It's, sometimes you just get sick of hearing about prospects. You just want to talk about the Islanders. You want to see the Islanders compete and win. Because they haven't done it. The last time they did that. Obviously the home ice and winning the division was over 30 years ago. I'm just so sick about hearing about players in the future. And I know you are too.
I understand that, but...
having prospects
are great. In the salary cap era...
Oh, I totally agree with that.
In the salary cap era, you need guys making $800,000 on your roster.
No, you do, but these guys are buried in the minors. The owners are very slow in bringing along their prospects, whether they're ready or not.
That's what Lou Lamoriello does.
Well... You know what? That was even with Snow. How long did it take?
I know, Kulak, but Lamoriello is more extreme than Snow.
Right.
Far more extreme.
Well, okay, so that's totally fine. So hopefully we'll see Dobson next year.
Probably not. I doubt it.
I mean, Dobson could get the tryout at the beginning of the year if he's ready.
No. I would be. He would have to absolutely win a job and just be an unstoppable wrecking ball at age 19. I don't see it.
Well, I mean, it's certainly
19-year-olds don't play for Lou Lamoriello. They just don't.
Well, if he's, clearly the best defenseman in training camp, he's getting a shot. There's no harm for getting the tryout.
Tays was the best defenseman in training camp. What happened to him?
I'm talking about next year.
I know. Yeah, because it's also different because Tays is 23 instead of 24.
Right, and Tays would have been up last year had he not got hurt.
Right.
Aho. Right. And look at Sebastian Aho, who
I think the leading candidate to play for the Islanders next year is Aho, not Dobson. And there's nothing wrong with Dobson going back to juniors.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong. Well, the point's probably moot because they have seven defensemen who are under contract for next year. And
yeah, you can move one of those then.
Okay, that's obviously the discussion for the offseason, but
clearly, of course it is.
Clearly, the number one candidate would be Nick Leddy.
Yes.
Because there's clearly need for centers, and that's something we'll get to later in the year. Also, they had a couple other signings. Our friend Bobo Carpenter, son of Bobby Carpenter.
Yeah, very happy for him. He's I watched him a lot in college. He's a really highly skilled, energetic player who I think fans are really going to like. I don't know what his offensive ceiling is, but the kid can play. And look, they need centers in this organization. And these college free agents cost nothing. They really don't. They don't cost draft picks. They don't cost assets. They cost usually around or less than $1 million. So just sign them and
right
and in the Bridgeport and see what happens.
Yeah, and Lou knows his father well because, you know, Bobby Carpenter scored 50 goals for the Devils, I believe, right? It was the Devils.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was Devils or the Bruins. I can't remember now.
It's one of those two, but he played for both teams.
Yeah, so, okay. And, you know,
There's still some – and you're still going to see there's still some very interesting prospects as the Frozen Four starts today. There's still going to be some interesting prospects that are going to be available. Right. So you might see a couple more signings happening in the next couple weeks.
Right. And you know, Bobo had he was probably, you know, the biggest standout in prospects camp and in the prospects game last year. I know he
– Yes, he was.
Following –
He had a great camp with –
Went to the Devils, too. Yeah. I was going to say went to the Devil camp afterwards, so I'm glad the Islanders signed him. And they also had a little bit of an under-radar signing, too. They signed defenseman Grant Hutton out of the University of Miami, Ohio.
Nice player, yeah, very nice player.
He was
bad
a captain
team this
of the
year,
team.
But he could play.
Yeah, and, you know, it was funny because last night was the Sound Tigers Booster Club dinner, which, of course, you know, Zach, you know, coerced me to join a few years ago. So, and but,
yes,
but these dinners are great because you hang out, you sit with the players, they you sit at the table first, and then they kind of do a lottery to see which players will sit with you. So one of the players we had yesterday was Grant Hutton. So really nice kid. We were just talking, you know, about him. He didn't play most of his junior year or senior year because he got injured, but you know super nice guy. He's big though. He's a big guy. And like you said, they need these depth players for the AHL, and who knows? You know, defensemen get hurt, you can slot them up. So it's a good signing. And like you said,
yeah,
a couple
I don't know
more
what
signings.
You're going to get offensively from him, but he's a good player. He's a big body. You're right. He's a good size. He's a pretty good skater. His skating needs to improve, obviously.
Yeah.
Like almost all kids coming out at their age. But he, like I said, he's worth it. He's worth the risk.
Yeah, and then a funny thing that came out of last night, they do these player awards where the players, you know, vote on, like, you know, most likely, you know, best singer of the team, you know, this and that. So
mm-hmm.
Josh Hosang won two awards last night, and you can probably guess the theme.
What time did he get there?
Well, I mean, in true Hosang fashion, I was actually late yesterday because I had to come from work.
Good.
So Zach and Abby were already there. Jody dropped them off, so thank you to my wonderful wife. Who dropped them off for me. But the awards were, the first one he won was the player most likely to lose his equipment.
Nice.
And the second one was the player most likely to miss the bus / be late to the bus. And that was both Josh Hosang.
That's great.
So, nice. Yeah, nice. It's, yeah, who knows it'll ever happen. And he's also a restricted free agent. So we'll see what happens with him in the offseason. But,
yeah, I have a feeling he's not going to get qualified.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, but following the break.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when it happens.
Yeah, exactly. But following the break, we'll answer some questions from the mailbag. Okay, we're back now. Dan, you got a couple questions, and let's hear them.
Okay, the first one is from Upstate Isles, who's a friend ours on Twitter, and he wants to know, Noel.
Yes.
He wants to know, who do the Isles match the best against the who's the best matchup for the Isles going into the playoffs?
Ooh, okay. So, I mean, you'd figure right now they're either going to play the Penguins, right? I mean, because you'd figure they're going to slot probably 2-3, so they're going to play the Penguins,
right?
You know, host them at home or host them away. That matchup doesn't bother me at all. They played them well. I don't want to see Boston, which I'm not going to see Boston for quite some time. If something breaks, they lose the rest of the games, and they manage to get the second wild card, I have no problem with them playing Tampa. They play well against Tampa.
You're an idiot.
All right, fine. Well, it's not going to be a sweep. I think they can play Tampa.
No, they're going to lose in three games.
All right, fine. All right, call me an idiot all you want. But I think the
look,
best...
Look, 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 no, look. They played very well against Tampa. They do match up okay with them. And yes, you can look at the body of work over the course of the season series, but it's not seven games in 10 days. That's completely different than playing a team three times over the course of a regular season. It just is.
It is. Now, but now that their defensive structure is...
How many times did they face Vasilevsky? Once? Once in those three games?
No, I think it was twice, right?
Once.
It was once?
Maybe.
Okay.
I think it was once.
All right.
Yeah. Might have been twice, but you did still. Like I said, you have to play perfect hockey and they're gonna, against Tampa. And you also have to have nights where you can outscore Tampa. And the Islanders have not proven that they can really outscore teams win a 5-4 game.
Well, they can't outscore Pittsburgh either.
But they match up a lot better against Pittsburgh.
No, that's why I said that first. That's who they're probably end up playing. I mean, unless they overtake
with
the
Carolina. With Carolina losing last night, I can't see them falling into a wild card spot.
Probably not. But if they win the division, who knows? They could even play Carolina in the first round. I have no problem with them playing Carolina either. They played a lot better this year against them than previous. Because in previous years, they always seem to have like these random defensemen get hat tricks against the Islanders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's happened quite a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Carolina's playing great hockey, but you take your chances with them. Absolutely. I still think, Pittsburgh would probably be the favorite regardless of the rankings. And, the media loves them and all that. And they're going to tell you how the Islanders have no chance against the Penguins. But that blue line scares nobody. Matt Murray does not scare me as well. Look, would the Penguins be a favorite? Absolutely. Would it be a hard series? Absolutely. The Islanders could beat the Penguins in a long series. The Islanders will frustrate the Penguins, and the fourth line will give Malkin and Crosby fits, and Malkin always seems to lose his composure against the Islanders.
Yeah, and it will definitely bring back flashes.
So I take my chances with the Penguins.
Yeah, it'll bring back flashes from 6 years ago, seeing Cizikas, seeing Clutterbuck, seeing Martin against those guys. And a less talented team took that team to six, 6 years ago.
Oh, they would have won the series if Nabokov could have stopped the beach ball.
Yeah, he was brutal. And and if they had initially held on to the leads in game three and six. But that's another here or there. Okay, what's your next question there?
It's actually from our friend CJ Papa, who joined us at the live show a few weeks ago. He said, what was it like having CJ Papa and Jillian Fisher on the same show?
Okay, well, yeah, first of all, thank everyone who came that day. It was
it was great.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks.
We had a lot of fun. We really enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. Yes, man, Outfitters, Devin Cummings, selling all his merch, did great. CJ was absolutely fantastic.
He told a
bunch of great stories. He's always great. He's a true Islander fan. And, Jillian's great. She was fantastic. Absolutely loved that gritty T-shirt that she wore.
And she drove down to Boston for us and for the Islander fans. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and she loves Islander fans. She really does. Good nature ribbing on Twitter. Both of them were great, and would love to have both of them on, again, definitely real soon.
Yeah, it was a good time. And also, a follow-up from CJ, does Matt Barzal have eyes in the back of his head? Yes.
Yeah, but sometimes they were on his side of his head. Because he was playing a lot of this West game, but he's when Barzal's on, he is fantastic. All right, so next game is Saturday at home against the Sabres. They can actually clinch a playoff spot. You think they do it, Dan?
Correct. Well, they gotta beat the Sabres. The Sabres are a disaster right now. They're something like 14-30 something, and a couple overtime losses in their last 55 games. They're terrible, and they've given up. They're an absolute hot mess in that locker room, like most Sabres teams are this time of year, unfortunately. So, yes, they need to win this game Saturday, get it over with.
Yeah, and I can see Phil Housley getting the axe because
at one point in November, he was a candidate for Coach of the Year.
I know, because that owner is really impulsive. He owns both the Bills and the Sabres. He's very impulsive,
correct.
So I can totally see that happening. And that team has so much talent. It's a real shame.
But they're still very young. They're very young in the blue line. Carter Hutton, I don't know about that. Olmark might be the long-term answer. Yeah. Still don't know about that. But Rasmus Dahlin is a special player. Yes. They just still need two or three more defensemen, and they have zero bottom six players.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have
very top heavy. Like, Eichel's had a fantastic season.
Yeah, he's tremendous. And, you know, they still have Mittelstadt, who's still growing, Reinhardt. Yep. They still have a ton of players. All right, so they have that game, and then they have a, you know, 2-day break. Oh, actually, no, they don't. I'm sorry. That's after Toronto. So our good friend, the Shootout Boy. Oh my God,
that was unbelievable. Great was that?
Yeah, that cracked me up. So they come back on, ironically, April Fool's Day, because okay. You know, pretty much Tavares, you know, pulled the fast one over all the Islanders and put an April Fool's joke. They play them final home game of the year. So that should be interesting. And you'd imagine that the Leafs are going to come out with some sort of effort to try to avenge that game.
Yeah, you would think so. And the Leafs need to right the ship. They're not playing great hockey. No. They're winning games, but they are a mess in their own end.
Yes, they are.
So it should be a very interesting game. And it seems like the Islanders really get up for these games. So this is going to be an interesting game. I'm not sure about the reception. I don't think it'll be as bad as the first game.
No, it definitely won't. It'll still be bad. I think
it'll be fun. I think the fans are going to have fun.
Yeah, just, you know, continue those chants and come up with some more creative ones. You know, that seems to come kind of shootout one, you know. And then they have a 2-day break, and then they end the season in Florida and Washington. So, we'll see. I mean, in typical Islander fashion, anytime they've made the playoffs or made a run, there's always this one game that they should win that they just don't. I can remember in 2002 when they had a chance to win the division, they lost a home game. I believe it was to Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, you know, shit the bed for one of them winning the division. I can totally see that happening against the Panthers. There's going to be 7 people in Sunrise for that game. Look,
the Panthers are a mess. They're giving up 5-6 goals a game. Their defense is a mess. Their goaltending is a mess. But Sasha Barkov is having a season. And if you screw up, they can easily drop 5 or 6 goals.
Absolutely.
And he has a chance to actually break the single season scoring record, which is held by Pavel Bure.
Right.
Barkov is, I think, only 1 or 2 points behind him, and he has a chance to do that. And that guy is an amazing talent. So if you screw up, they'll drop 5 goals on you. But that's once again a game they should win.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? Being inside, there's going to be a really strong Islander turnout at that game. Really strong Islander turnout.
Yeah, well, let's hope. And you know, Barkov needs to get the hell out of Florida. Stat.
He signed he's been under contract for like 5 more years.
I know. But yeah. So hopefully that's not a letdown before the game in Washington, which let's hope that means something, whether it's for the division or, you know, securing a home ice advantage for the first round. But we'll have a show next week, and we'll discuss. Hopefully Islanders will clinch by our next show, at least a playoff spot. And yeah. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.